wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's a special edition of Abandoned Manitoba today, or dare I rename the series, Gordon and Friends. Gordon Goldsboro joins us now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we talking about this week, or who are we talking to this
week? Well, yeah, like you said, something special. We're doing a little different thing today. I have brought a guest. Gail Perry, one of my friends at the Manitoba Historical Society, is here in the studio. And the reason is that next Saturday, she's going to be launching a new book about one of Manitoba's most important architects, a fellow named John D. Acheson. So I'm going to turn things back to you, Nadia, and sit back and listen.
Gordon can even have a nap if he's tired. I'll take it from here. Welcome, Gail.
Thank you, Nadia.
Thanks so much for joining us. I've got a copy of your gorgeous book in my hands, and it's so impressive. I hadn't heard of the name of the architect before, John D. Acheson, but I can recognize so many of the buildings from the pictures. So I really appreciate you coming on the show to tell us all about this. So are you ready?
Oh, yes.
For people who don't know the name, like myself, who was John Acheson?
Well, he was a Chicago-trained architect who worked in Chicago under his own shingle for 11 years and then moved to Winnipeg in 1905. And in 18 years, he pretty much transformed our downtown and many landmarks in what are now Winnipeg suburbs, buildings that we know. So he built about 145 buildings or remodeled them, and 55 of them still stand, and 54 of them are still being used and enjoyed today.
For listeners who might not be aware, can you name a few of those well-known buildings?
Sure. Well, people will likely know the Boyd Building on Portage Avenue, and I call it the quintessential Chicago-style skyscraper. The Canadian Mennonite University's flagship, which was once the Manitoba School for the Deaf on Shaftesbury, that's another one. If you're driving or walking on Stafford, at the corner of Stafford and Grosvenor, there's a kind of a pretty Elizabethan or Tudor-style building. That's his as well.
So some really iconic buildings, really easily recognizable to many of us here in Winnipeg. What drew you to Acheson as a subject?
Well, I was always interested in architecture as a child. And my father, who was a builder, a city assessor, and a building appraiser, fostered that. And we used to go every Sunday and look at old buildings. And when I got to be a teenager, and when finally there were publications that identified architects with buildings, I discovered that many of my favorite buildings, which I would never have thought were related to each other, were by the same designer. And then when I found out he was from Chicago, and I'd been doing lots of reading, he was there at the same time as some of my heroes like Frank Lloyd Wright or Daniel Burnham or the father of the skyscraper, William LeBaron-Jenney, who I find out he worked for. So I had to find out who was this guy.
And who was he? Give us a sense of this character.
Well, you know, we didn't know much about his character. And so that was the joy of the research. Mm. So in the course of it, I met his 86-year-old granddaughter, who knew him until she was 23 when he died in 1959. And so she was able to tell us a little bit about his personality. Now, we don't have letters or diaries from him, and she told me that, you know, he was a really great conversationalist, but he didn't really talk about himself. So the family, like her children, for example, they don't really know about his career in Winnipeg. They knew he was here. So she said to me, I was kind of wondering why he came to Winnipeg, and I kind of said, I was kind of hoping you could tell me.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Do we know why he moved to Winnipeg in 1905?
Well, you got to remember what Winnipeg was like in 1905. Mm. As a friend in the architectural community, Murray Peterson, says, Winnipeg was the center of the world. It was one of the fastest growing cities in the Western world, and lots of money was being injected from England into develop Winnipeg. And of course, Winnipeg was the place that was kind of the last stop before the launching of the West. Mm. So there was a big building boom, and I think that's what attracted Acheson here.
How would you describe his architectural style here in Winnipeg?
You know, there's no single hallmark for an Atchison building, which that makes it tough because his buildings are so diverse in style and also in building type. But you will always see very fine proportions, a great elegance, beautiful building materials like terracotta and, Tyndall stone, metal fittings. And then there's just a little flourish of kind of fanciness, but it's never flashy, just classy.
So you mentioned your interview with his, was it granddaughter?
Granddaughter, yeah. Can you believe that?
Yeah, and it's incredible that, you know, you got to speak to someone who actually knew him.
He was born in 1870 when Manitoba came into being.
Yeah. What other research did you do for this book?
Well, there was another Winnipegger and originally an American named Phil Hayes, who for many years was studying and researching Atchison. And he was like a community colleague in terms of architectural interest. We knew he was writing this book or he had this intention. Unfortunately, he had an illness and he died in 2015 without writing a book. But his widow, Betty Hayes, and a mutual friend, Randy Rastecki, the Dean of Architectural History here in Winnipeg, they put Phil's research into the Manitoba Legislative Library. So that was available. But as well, my husband, David Furman, who's a photographer, and I went to Chicago, Saskatchewan, California, and of course here in Winnipeg, and photographed every one of his standing buildings. I also had the opportunity to meet some of the homeowners in California and also in Winnipeg. So I get the treat to sometimes go to his homes for tea here in Winnipeg.
Wow. In your research, because it seemed quite substantial, was there anything you came across that surprised you?
Okay, so this is what surprised me. He had some interesting women in his life. His wife was a china painter of renown. She was a part of a group called the Atlin China Painting Club. But her sister was one of the leading suffragists in the United States. And this sister-in-law lived with them. And she was kind of known as a militant suffragist. So I imagine they had a really interesting household.
Do you have a favorite building done by Atchison in Winnipeg?
It's a hard question, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or my other question is, like, was there a particular story about a particular building that you came across in your research that you would love to share with listeners? That would be interesting.
Well, I'm going to just pick the White House or the Oldfield Kirby Gardner building on Portage Avenue between Fort and Gary because it looks like a little temple. And so it's got this lovely architectural appeal, but it's really a modern building. It was a modern building at its time. Steel frame construction. It has since been refitted as a home on the second floor. People live there and they have a garden patio on the roof. So I thought, and then of course it's made of custom made terracotta from Chicago just for that building. So, you know, it's just got like every element.
How was he received by his colleagues when he came to Winnipeg? Was it instant success for him?
Yes, it was. And I wonder if there was some kind of connection between him and the Oldfield Kirby Gardner firm. Atchison's own dad was in a similar kind of field, which was, real estate, insurance, tenancies, rentals, things like that. So maybe there was a connection there. There was also a real need for middle class and upper class apartment blocks. They were involved in that kind of thing, and they were his first clients.
Mm-hmm. I can't help but have my Gordon Goldsborough lens on with my next question. Are there any buildings by Atchison at risk today?
Yes, I would say that the Peck building is at risk. Now, this is really a building that's jointly of a fellow named Charles Wheeler, who designed the Holy Trinity Church down Levert. And Atchison put a two-story addition very sympathetically on that building. It's at the corner of Princess and Notre Dame, and it has been vacant for years. A frost fence went around it a year ago, and just 6 weeks ago, the beautiful tin cornice, which would be attributable to Atchison, was taken down.
Mm. Finally, Gail, and I have so many more questions, but we're running out of time. What do you think his legacy is to Winnipeg's architectural landscape?
Well, the fact that we've got these functional and beautiful buildings, but, you know, I haven't even mentioned that he was a founder of the Winnipeg Art Gallery, of the Faculty of Architecture, of the School of Art at the University of Manitoba. So, I mean, it's a long-lasting legacy.
Is there a building in particular that has significance that we perhaps don't realize, that we walk past every day, that, you know, we should pay attention to?
You know, the Main Street Project, which used to have Mitchell Fabrics at it, is just a humble one-story building now painted with super graphics. But it used to be a five-story building that had an 800-person assembly hall for philanthropy, really. So it was really quite interesting. It's returned to its roots. But it was dismantled in the Depression.
Gail, thank you so much for this. Luckily for listeners, because I'm sure there's many more questions, there is an entire book that you've written on him, and we have a couple of copies to give away. So I so appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your passion with us.
Thank you, Nadia and Gordon.
Gordon Goldsborough. I mean, just before we get to next week, Gordon, can listeners use the MHS app to find some of these buildings?
Well, in a word, no. It's a capability we want to add to it eventually. But in the meantime, there is a way to do it. There is a web version of the app. If you go to mhs.ca/map2, the digit 2, you'll get to a web interface, and it has much greater search capability. So in a keyword search, you search for Atchison, and on a map, it'll show you all the buildings that he designed around the province. So check that out.
Really enjoyed this conversation, Gordon, Gail. Thank you so much. Gordon, what's up for next week?
Well, we're continuing with Gail because earlier this week, she and I, along with many others, were at Government House, and we were there to hear the Lieutenant Governor announce this year's recipients of her awards for the preservation and promotion of Manitoba history. So next week, I'm going to share with our listeners the names of those who were honored and describe the work for which they were recognized.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you.
Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.